Welcome in to a postseason edition of the Bengals Beat podcast. The Bengals keep rolling, as do Jason Williams and I, as we continue to bring you guys the latest from the Cincinnati Bengals as they get ready to take on the Buffalo Bills in the AFC divisional round game, a game with a lot of high stakes. Of course, the winner of Sunday's game gets a ticket to the AFC championship game for all the marbles in that one. A lot of storylines in this game. But Jason, when you had a minute to decompress following the game over against the Ravens, what's the first thing you thought about when you started making your list of what you wanted to write about and talk about this week about this game specifically against the Bills?
Well, the biggest thing is the injuries on the offensive line. I think when you're looking big picture here, and when you think of what they did in the offseason, that everything was geared toward rebuilding the offensive line, and three straight games of losing a starter on the offensive line. I think that was really what's come to mind. And can the Bengals overcome that? That's going to be really difficult for them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think It's really unfortunate. It's really unfortunate. And maybe they will. Maybe they'll find a way to do it. But it's really unfortunate. I know that's football and people, no one's going to feel sorry for you. But, they really felt like this offensive line was really the big piece to get them over the hump, to get that Lombardi trophy. And again, maybe it still happens. It's hard to see them overcoming that all the way through to the Super Bowl championship, though.
Yeah, it is the biggest story in Cincinnati right now. What Jason and I are referring to is that Jonah Williams left the game on Sunday with a left knee injury. Zach Taylor told us on Monday that it is a dislocated kneecap. So at least he avoided an ACL or MCL structural damage. But it doesn't seem likely that he's going to be able to go this week. Of course, there's still practice. We're taping this show on Wednesday. There's still practice on Thursday and Friday. So we will see and monitor his status. But based off of Zach's comments, it doesn't sound like Jonah is going to be able to go. And Jackson Carmen today at practice for the first couple of minutes that I was able to see was who was starting at left tackle, with offensive line coach Frank Pollock giving him extra instruction. And then, of course, Alex Kappa is still dealing with an ankle injury. He didn't play against the Ravens, and it seems unlikely that he is going to play as well, considering Zach Taylor said the most that he's seen Alex Kappa do progress-wise is lifting a towel up with his toes, doing that curl to try and get strength in your ankle. And I just don't foresee a situation where if a player is that limited in his mobility, being able to make it back for the game. Both of them following the game, you needed assistance to be able to walk around. Jonah had one crutch and a soft knee brace. Alex Kapp is still riding around on a scooter on Sunday night. And then, of course, not news here, but Lyle Collins has been out for a couple weeks now with a torn ACL, and that is your starting right tackle. So as Jason said, it is unfortunate for the Bengals, and that's what I wrote about following the game. It seems like deja vu for this team. They're in the middle of a postseason run, and their offensive line are dropping like flies. And it especially stings for the Bengals because it wasn't a matter of they didn't do anything to try to avoid a situation like this. The front office deserves credit for what they went out and got Joe Burrow in terms of better protection. And his protection this year is a big reason why this team went 12-4 and won the AFC North for a second consecutive year. So it's a bummer because, once again, the Bengals are heading into a tough road environment in the divisional round, down some of their top players. But that is football, and it happens. And we will see if Jackson Carmen, Max Sharping, and Hakeem Adeniji can get the job done enough. But I think it mostly falls on Burrow here. And, you know, it's interesting. I asked Brian Callahan, the Bengals offensive coordinator, today what's going on with the run game, because the Bengals rank number 29 in rushing offense this year so far. And they can't run the ball. They haven't been able to run the ball the last couple of weeks. And I said, you know, what do you attribute those inefficiencies to? And he said, well, we've played a lot of really good run defenses. And to be honest, we would rather the ball be in Joe Burrow's hands than essentially running it right now. So they're going to go into Buffalo trying to win that game with Burrow, and they're either going to ride or the season's going to fall apart on that game, but it's going to be in Burrow's hands. So that's why you said you just don't know. Last year, Burrow got the team to the Super Bowl with a patchwork offensive line. So it's hard to count them out, but certainly worthy of talking about on this podcast because it's a huge, huge theme. The Bills do have a good pass rush. Without Von Miller, they don't have a 1A, you know, Pro Bowl caliber edge rusher, but they have a lot of good players. Ed Oliver in the middle is very good. I foresee him trying to give that right side a hard time. They had 40 sacks on the season, so they do enough to get pass rush. They have really good linebackers who rush the passer, so they're going to make it hard, but we will see if Joe Burrow and his magic cape can get this team to be able to move forward, even with the injuries. Let's talk a little bit about this game in particular. So digging into the numbers, Buffalo is 14-5 in Bills' history of their playoff record. They don't lose at home in the playoffs. And I think it's especially important to talk about this because there is some snow expected to be in the forecast. Not terribly cold, but this game, there's a reason the Bills are favored at home. It's a tough place to play. And obviously the Bengals, there was a lot of made of how good the Bengals looked against the Bills before the DeMar Hamlin injury. It looks like the Bengals might, you know, score 40 points that day. But I almost feel like you can't even really take what you saw from that first part of the game because so much has changed, even though it's only been a couple weeks. How do you feel about the Bengals' odds going into this Buffalo atmosphere?
I don't feel good about it, especially if to piggyback off the whole offensive line thing. The Bills, if I'm reading it correctly, but the Bills sacked the Miami quarterback four times last week. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Yeah. And the Bengals gave up four sacks last week. The most they've given up since the Halloween night game in Cleveland, which happened to be their last loss. I just think the emotions of DeMar Hamlin, I think this are in a good way. The Buffalo is going to be extra motivated. It's really difficult to get over for me to see the Bengals getting over the hump and getting this victory with that offensive line. That's really what I think it all comes down to. And I'm glad you brought up the running game because that would be the most logical, and to put it simply, that would be the most logical way to try to overcome a patchwork offensive line is if you have a decent running game. Like you said, that's been non-existent, and really it's been non-existent for most of the season. And there's just been times even when the Bengals have abandoned it. Now, mm-hmm. Are they going to be able to flip the script and go to it this week and stick with it and see if it works and see if that's the way to go? I don't know. It's hard to see them just being able to turn it on when they've not been able to turn it on all season long, or at least consistently. Mm-hmm. And you're on the road in that environment. I think it's going to be tough.
Yeah, especially with the weather. You know, obviously it's only an inch of snow, but still you'd like to be able to run the ball in those cold weather conditions. And the Bengals certainly can run the ball. They just haven't been consistent doing it this year. Right. They're paying Joe Mixon a lot of money. So it's an interesting predicament because you don't want to take the ball out of Burrow's hands. But if this game goes a certain direction where he's just getting, you know, annihilated up front, like they're going to have to be able to get 4 to 5 yards on first and second down out of Joe Mixon and not take negative yards, and it being first and 20s, they've got to try and help Burrow out with their run game. So we'll see what their offensive game plan is. I'm very curious to see what they believe is their best way to win, knowing kind of their weaknesses up front now. But let's switch to the other side of the ball. Something I wanted to talk about is, and I'll be writing a story on it that'll be up on Cincinnati.com tomorrow, but when Chidobe Awuzie went down on Halloween night, it seemed like that loss of him at corner was going to haunt the Bengals, because heading into the season, you could argue that cornerback was the weakest spot on this defense. And they've been able to get by mostly because they can outscore a lot of teams. And some of these teams that they played later in the stretch didn't have as good of quarterbacks in terms of passing first type quarterbacks. But based off the way Eli Apple played against the Ravens when, you know, he got burned 41 yards by DeMarcus Robinson, by the Ravens, I just don't know if Eli Apple and Cam Taylor-Britt are going to be able to hold up against Stephon Diggs, who's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, Gabe Davis, who's their streaker, really fast guy, with Josh Allen airing the ball out. I just don't know if they're good enough in one-on-one settings to match up with those guys. Because, I mean, Eli Apple, that play, the 41-yard touchdown was pretty ugly. And I talked to cornerbacks coach Chuck Burks about it today, and he said it was poor eyes by him. He didn't have the right technique. So they seem like it's correctable. But again, that, in my opinion, is the weakest part of the defense. And say they are able to get out of Buffalo, are they going to be able to hold up one more time against Patrick Mahomes and his slew of receivers? So to me, that's on defense. The big key to the game is how those corners play against Stephon Diggs, because Stephon Diggs, let me tell you, is a lot better than any receiver the Ravens had. But on defense, what stands out to you about this specific matchup?
Well, that's exactly, my thought too, is when you look back in that, I mean, I still have a vision of that pass play to DeMarcus Robinson, 41 yards down that sideline. That's sort of that sideline in front of the press box. That was just ugly. That was an ugly play. And you're thinking like, wait, Tyler Huntley, who?
Yeah.
And I mean, he was wide open. Robinson was, and just, walked into the end zone essentially. And you start to think, and I remember thinking in that moment, it's like, what is Josh Allen going to do against this team? And I know Josh Allen has been, not Josh Allen-esque, for a lot of the season. But I don't know. You're right, Kelsey. Like, it feels like this secondary, certainly the cornerback position, is, it's, I don't know what's the right way to put it. Like, it could just kind of crack at any moment now. And then, and let's be honest, like, they've done a great job, given the injuries, and they've held up nicely. And, going into this environment against this quarterback, goodness, that, I'm sitting here thinking of Huntley hitting the tight end, down the field a few times. And it's like, there was no reason for that. It just didn't seem like, it's like, wait a minute, this is just not a good passing team in Baltimore. And I grant it, it's not like Baltimore passed for 300 yards against him or anything, but there were just moments in that game you're like, oof, is this dam on the verge of basically just busting wide open? And, could that happen this week?
Very well could. I agree, because I just thought they did not play well on defense. Granted, J.K. Dobbins is one of the top running backs in this league. Josh Allen can run too. And if he gets to the edge and they don't play better perimeter defense, I mean, it just seem like against the Ravens, every time the Ravens had a run outside, the Bengals had poor leverage, and it would be, a 10 to 20 yard play that just it can't happen against the Bills because they're too good. They have too many weapons on offense. Whereas the Ravens, you know, without Lamar Jackson, struggle in the red zone. They struggle to put up points. They can move the ball, but that's been the Achilles heel for them is without Lamar Jackson, they haven't been able to put up enough points. Well, the Bills can not only get up and down on the field on you, but they can score in the red zone. And so I think the Bengals are going to have to play much better on defense on first and second down against Buffalo to get them off the field. Because if this turns into a track meet, I don't foresee the Bengals being able to keep up. I think the only way the Bengals win this game is if they really disrupt Josh Allen and what he's trying to do on offense in terms of like a monster game from Trey Hendrickson up front. It's been a little bit quiet from him the last couple of games. So who knows, maybe this could be, you know, Trey's big game. But I think the only way that the Bengals win this game is if they are really able to get after Josh Allen and make him create a turnover or two and really make sure that those guys are off the field and let Burrow be on the field more. But I think, I mean, it's really simple. Not get it. I think we can say what under four sacks, the Bengals have a chance to win. More than four sacks on Burrow, it's tough to see them win. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. And here's a tell too. And I want to point this out about, I think sort of the shakiness of the cornerback position. Tyler Huntley, he took over as a starter for Lamar Jackson, you know, the backup quarterback for the Ravens. First game was December 4th against Denver. These were his passing numbers in the, he didn't play against Cincinnati the week before, but prior to that, he'd been playing every week since December 4th. So these were his passing numbers leading up to throwing for 226 yards against the Bengals. 187, 88, 138, 115, 130. And then wham, 226 and two touchdowns. He had combined two touchdowns in those five games.
Wow.
So, you know, that's a huge concern.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I think it's worth talking about all of the attention on the offensive line, but Bengals defense, how they play against this Bills offense, because I know that the Bills played the Dolphins really close, and there's been some talk about how, if Josh Allen's not been, the Bills rank in the top five in points per game and total offense. So this is a very good offense. I feel like that can't be overstated enough because people are just nitpicking the Bills. They are very good. Josh yeah. Allen is very good. They can score a lot of points. And so they're a better offense than the Ravens. So in order for the Bengals to win, they have to play better on defense. But I thought it was interesting. I asked Cheeto after the game in the locker room. I was just, you know, asking him how he was feeling. And I said, did Baltimore do anything that was different? I mean, typically we don't see teams like gash you guys in the run game like that. And he said, yeah, there were some things they did. He said, but I think I'm glad that it happened this week because I think we'll make the changes necessary for next week. So that's what we'll be waiting and seeing is if the Bengals come out with a better effort on defense throughout the whole game, because pockets of good defense isn't good enough against the Bills. There's a reason why almost everyone in the world picked them to win the Super Bowl this year, and they've certainly lived up to the hype. But yeah, there's going to be, that place is going to be rowdy and ready to go. It's Ted Karras said it's one of the hardest places to play in the NFL. So I'd expect the crowds definitely be in favor. The Bengals also haven't had to go on road for a little bit. So they're going to have to go back to their silent count and practice all of that. So we'll see how this game goes. I can't wait to watch it. I am very excited to watch just two really good teams trying to put their best foot forward and make a run at the AFC Championship game. So I'm excited. I'll be heading up to Buffalo. Jason will be heading to Buffalo. We will be together riding in the game, you know, giving all of our thoughts and analysis. So be sure to check back on Cincinnati.com and check in next week for our post-game podcast. We'll either be talking about the Bengals heading to play in the AFC Championship, or we'll be recapping the season. But either way, it'll be a good conversation. Jason, can't wait to see you in Buffalo. Pack warm clothes.
Look forward to it.